Raised Sports is a proud member of the Storyhanger Podcast Network. For more information, go to storyhanger.com.
Hello, everybody. Having wrapped up Season 2, just as spring training was starting to crank up, I wanted to catch up with Cole Uvilla. So I headed out to Surprise, Arizona, and on February 22nd, Cole and I caught up. It was a rare rainy day, so we sat down on the back patio of his rental home, listened to the birds, and talked. We discussed how his abbreviated offseason had gone, touched on some goals he has for the 2020 season, and he shared his thoughts on how much he has grown as a pitcher over the last year. I hope you enjoy our conversation in this bonus episode of Raised Sports.
Cole?
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, yeah.
Here we are in Arizona, all these months later.
Yeah.
Catch us up from what you've been doing since on the road with Kayla, driving home after the Arizona Fall League, to now at the start of spring training.
Yeah, so got home in like late October, right at the end, and took a week off of everything and felt like really unproductive and weird, just not doing anything. It was driving me crazy, but it was just like the best thing for my body at the time. And then right a week goes by, I started lifting again, and really, you know, was trying to get after that. So I was lifting like four times a week for like the first 6 weeks of the off season, and trying to make the most of that. And then I took 3 weeks completely off of throwing, and then had like a really slow, conservative progression back to throwing. And then, you know, I was just working every night, playing cards from about 3 p.m. to about 8. And then Kayla gets off at 8, so I'd meet her at home, and we would just have nice nights together and talk about our days and go to bed and do it again. That was pretty much my entire off season. I ran into some bad luck in December, and I kept getting sick. I think I got sick like two or three times in the month of December, and we ended up finding out it was because we had a fan on in our bedroom. So, like, if you have a fan that's pointed directly at you while you sleep, it just basically just blows like bacteria and stuff down your throat like while you sleep. Like, it's not, it's like really, really unhealthy. So we 180'd on that. We got an air purifier in the room.
Nice.
So, and then I stopped getting sick for a long time. And then that was like the first 2 months of my off season. And then we turned the corner with the throwing. I backed off the lifting to three times a week. And then we started, you know, getting off the mound. So, like, basically the more, they call it training economy, the more training economy I was putting into throwing meant the less I was putting into lifting, and vice versa. Like, when I wasn't throwing at the start of the off season, I was lifting more. And so, Rob and I, Rob Hill sat down, kind of talked about my arsenal and, like, what do we want to do this year. Through a pitch design session with him and another driveline employee that I'm really close with, and everything was pretty much dialed. So we were like, I was like, what do you guys think? Should I make the curveball harder and sharper and move less, or should I make it more top down? And they were basically like, listen, I don't think we should touch any of your three pitches, and we should look into adding a slider. So for the month of January, I was just working on a slider. Basically, because a curveball is a really effective pitch, but it's an incredibly hard pitch to be very consistent with because of just the movement profile. It moves so much that throwing it for a strike consistently can be, you know, if you just come out, some days you'll have it. I mean, you'll just be landing it, and then you'll be able to throw in the dirt, and those are the great days. But I think, and they think, just a curveball in general has the most, like, variance when it comes to, like, command of any pitch, that and like splitters, just because they move a lot, and they're kind of, you can predict them, but it's such a fine line, because you're basically like throwing, it's like trying to throw a ball in a trash can from like 20 feet away. You gotta, you know, land it in there. So they basically said, like, your curveball's great, and it'll be your fastball up and your curveball down will be your bread and butter for the rest of your career, but it would be nice to have a pitch to lean on in, like, those 2-1 counts, 3-1 counts, 1-1 counts, to kind of get people off your fastball and kind of make them respect, you know, because You know, if you're 2-1, you don't want to flip in a curveball that they just spit on because they're sitting on fastball, you know. So that was their idea, and I started ripping a slider, and it ended up being like, you know, nothing insane, you know. It's not like a, it's not anything special, but it's just, it's a pitch that I can throw in the zone more consistently that moves, that isn't, you know, straight, and that, you know, I'll probably throw it like 10% of the time this year. It's not like something I'm really going to even stress a lot about. Like, there'll be outings I don't throw it at all, but, you know, maybe runners on second and third, 1-1 count, and we got, you know, some stud up there, you know, it's, you know, rather than just laying a fastball, you know, be something to use. So that is what I spent my entire January on, and then started throwing live to hitters up there and testing it out, and it was hit or miss. Like, it's a good pitch when I throw it, but it's, again, it's just, with learning any new pitch, there's like a lot of ups and downs. Like, some days you just have it and have a good feel for it, and then you think you just have a slider, and then the next day you throw it, it's just like you just don't have feel for it, and it's just like this constant, like, two steps forward, one step back sort of deal.
Now, you threw the slider before, and you're referring to it as a new pitch. Have you re-engineered it in some way?
Yeah.
Is it, okay, like what?
So it's funny. So when I went home on the All-Star break to learn a curveball with Rob, he also taught me a slider that same day. That was really good. It was significantly better than the slider I'd been throwing my entire career. And basically, we had to face the decision, well, I mean, since I have no breaking ball, let's learn one first. So we had felt, you know, in those last 6 months from June to December, that I pretty much learned the curveball, and it wasn't like second nature. I mean, but it's at least trending in the direction where it's not something I need, you know, 50 reps a day. And so we took the slider he showed me that same day, and we just started working with that.
How do you feel about the progress from then to now?
Good. I mean, the off season was really quick because I got done a month later this year with the fall league, and then I showed up a month earlier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not complaining by any means. Like, I don't want it to seem that way, but it was like really quick. So it didn't really feel like I had a ton of time to like truly get better or like really like nail things down. It was more of like a maintain sort of thing. Like, just get back to where I was in the fall league. Like, rest. You know, give my body a second, and then just like get back up to speed, and then, you know, kind of treat these 6 weeks in spring training. Obviously, I'm competing for a spot, but also kind of treat it as like an extended off season where, you know, I threw live, I think it was just a couple of days ago, and, you know, I had 25 pitches to work with, and I was just I spun like 12 or 13 curveballs because I just wasn't, it wasn't where it was when I left off in the fall league. And obviously, if it was different in a game situation, my career's on the line, I wouldn't throw 50% curveballs. But it was more of just something like, I need to hammer this down now in February, so in April when, you know, the games are on the line, it's just second nature. So
The other thing you had mentioned wanting to do this offseason was to put on weight.
Mm-hmm.
Mass equals gas, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. How's that been going? And then in conjunction, I imagine, with a lot of lifting early on in the offseason.
So, I mean, it was good. I definitely have gained some weight. I've probably gained like 7 pounds, I would say, from my average when I left the fall league. But the problem was is I got sick multiple times in December, which affected my training. And then I didn't mention it, but I got the flu real bad right around my birthday at the end of January. So it was just like a constant thing where it was like I'd start feeling good again and then I'd get sick. And, you know, you learn to train being sick. I mean, it wasn't that, but it's just like really hard to like really get after it in the gym or really get after it in like a throwing program when you just like, you know, your throat hurts and you can't breathe and your head's all stuffed up. So, you know, not making excuses, but it was definitely like a bumpy off season when it comes to that. But I still feel like I made some progress. I definitely feel stronger. You know, my upper body's like filled out more than it ever has been. But I still like, I think again, like now kind of again, treating this as like a, extended, you know, time to get ready for April. I still just need to like start really getting after it in the weight room now that I'm feeling healthy. I'm out here in the, you know, the warm weather and stuff. So it's a hard thing to balance though, because you don't want to overdo it now and then have to go perform and then you're, you know, you, you don't want to like go like max out on squat and then have to pitch like 2 days later just because, you know. So it's almost like a ongoing cycle of like maintaining, but also like trying to like ever so slightly like edge forward. So that's where I'm at right now. So I would say it wasn't by failure by any means, but it definitely wasn't what I was hoping this offseason with that.
And what if the Rangers told you about the next 6 weeks or so, what they want you to work on, and then do you have an idea?
They're going to sit down and talk to us about stuff like that actually this coming week. So we're having like individual meetings. So I haven't really heard like anything like that, like anything just specific. But, you know, I wouldn't expect it to be much else, much different than where we left off, which was just high fastballs paired with a low curveball, being quicker to the plate, and just managing the running game, and then just throwing strikes, you know. So, and that's all stuff that I kind of patterned my offseason around. And I think the thing I'm most excited about for this year is I'm convinced that I'm gonna like cut my walks in half, just be from like an adjustment in like the mental side of the game. I think I, without knowing it, when I had those like snowball innings where, because, you know, like if you look at my outings, I don't know if I've talked to you about this before, but if you look at my outings, you know, if I go 5 appearances and I go 8 innings, I might have like 4 walks in those 8 innings. But if you look, oftentimes it's like an outing with no walks, another outing with no walks, another outing with no walks, and then an outing with 4 walks, mm-hmm. and then an outing with no walks. And so, like, when you widen the lens, you look at my entire season, it looks like I have command problems, but it's really these blow-up innings where I have command problems in these short stints.
Mm-hmm.
And so a huge part of this offseason was kind of the search for, like, the root of that issue. And I think it's really just a focus slash, like, consistency issue. So, like, I rush a lot when things start to go bad.
Mm-hmm.
I just get the ball back, step on the mound, get the sign, and throw it. Whereas, like, I need to, like, no matter if I'm about to throw the 9th pitch of an immaculate inning or if I'm about to throw the 39th pitch of a 4, 5, or 5 earned run inning, I need to, like, have the same routine every time I catch the ball. And so I just kind of implemented, like, something that was comfortable for me with that, like, into my throwing program. So pretty much any time I throw a ball, even, like, plyo balls, like, I just stop, I come set, like, looking at third base, and then I look at the pitcher or the catcher, and then I go. And it's just, like, those 2 seconds have kind of made the world the difference for me as far as, like, command with my fastball, which is really exciting. I think that would be if what I believe to be is true and I can somehow cut my walks even down, you know, 1 per 9,
mm-hmm.
it'd be amazing. It's just being consistent. Like, Corey Kluber is, like, the perfect example. You know, I'm not going to bug the guy, but if I ever get a chance to actually talk to him about it, I'd be really interested. But it's just part of, like, being a professional, you know. I mean, part of, like, being the transition from a thrower to a pitcher. And it's just, like, it's so more detailed than I ever imagined, and, like, I'm sure I haven't even scratched the surface. But, I mean, if I'm looking at wanting to pitch at the highest level eventually, I just have to start focusing on these things. You know, my stuff is good, but you can't just outstuff people in the big leagues, you know, or even in AA, you know. You have to pitch, and you have to think, and you have to control your emotions, so that's a big step for me that I'm excited about, because I've always just been a guy that just grabs the ball and throws it. And I think those days of that being good enough to have a lot of success are probably behind me.
You mentioned AA.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like the logical place to start the upcoming season, but nothing's set in stone. What do you think about that?
Obviously, like, you know, that's where I'd like to end up, and I hope I break camp there. But, it's a production game. It's not what you've done for me. It's what you're doing for me now. And so this camp is just as important as every camp will be for the rest of my career. I just got to keep proving that I belong. And I think if I do that, then there's a good chance I could end up there. But, you know, there's no no real like lineups have been posted or anything like that, and nobody said anything, and that all just happens at the end of camp, and they post the rosters and you leave. So I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing where I end up. And but again, last spring training, I got really consumed by that. I got really like in my head about it, nervous, and tried to. I was like, everywhere I went, I was just like, you could probably see a vein popping out of my head just because I was so like worried that every single thing I did was being watched, and because of that, I tried to do too much in every single situation. And you know, I mean, it was just like I had a really bad camp actually last year, and so. By no means am I like comfortable, but at least I have the experience of like being, you know, this not being my first spring training. So I know that the best thing for me is just to go out and pitch, enjoy the time with my teammates, you know, enjoy the time in the clubhouse, enjoy the time in the weight room, and just make the most of it. And then whatever happens, happens.
Is that just experience on your part, or have you talked to people, or like, look, you got to cool it. You know, you can't worry about every single thing like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be completely honest, I don't think we've ever talked about this because we never started talking until after this happened. But our pitching coordinator, Danny Clark, I had an outing last spring training where both my innings got rolled, which I don't know if you know that terminology. But when an inning gets rolled, it's basically you don't get three outs and they just like pull you off for pitch count or pull you off because you're just getting hit around too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I didn't get out. I think I walked four guys and gave up a triple, hit a guy, might have got one out in two innings. And I was just, like, all over the place. And, you know, DC took me aside and basically had a conversation with me that I would say changed my career for sure. I mean, he basically would just, like, told me that I'm worried about all the wrong things and that if I wasn't meant to be – because, you know, I mean, for me, especially – I mean, it's weird to think about a year ago – and nothing's really changed. Like, I'm still the same guy. But a year ago, I was basically, like, coming into camp, like, as this older guy that had a pretty good season and short season. But still, like, we don't know, you know. We don't know if he's, you know, if it was fluky or what. And that, or at least that's what I was thinking. I have no idea. They don't tell me what they think of me, you know. But in my head, I was like, I have to be nails. And so I was just pressing, and I was overdoing it. And, you know, DC basically told me, dude, he's like, when you first came in, you had nothing to lose, and you just pitched, and you were smiling, and you were laughing, and you would all, whenever you saw me, you would give me a smile and shake my hand and ask me how I'm doing. And now, you're walking around like you got something to lose, and that's how I kind of felt in last spring training. It's like there were some expectations, and it's funny. So I have that outing where both my innings get rolled and DC talks to me and we have a long talk and he just tells me to go pitch and to quit worrying about all the other BS. And then I go and I have a one inning outing over in Peoria at the Mariners complex that I get three outs and five pitches. So, and I mean, really, like, it's just something that I'll never forget, the conversation, because especially in this day and age with all the technology, and then in spring training, when you got all these people watching you, there's so many things you can get consumed by. I mean, you can get consumed by the analytics. You can get worried about what your spin rate is on, and if it's down this outing. You can get worried about what your velocity is if it's down this outing. You can get worried if the GM's watching you pitch. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of moving parts in spring training and a lot of stuff that can really get to guys. And for me, almost like a defense mechanism to all that is just to, like, let it all go. Just be in the moment, try to smile and laugh and just enjoy the time, because I mean, you know, nothing's guaranteed, and I really do enjoy when I'm here. So thinking about like all the stuff that I can't control is just a net negative.
It's funny because this topic has come up over the course of this past season where there are sometimes you felt like you just needed to kind of relax, enjoy your teammates, enjoy the minor league experience, and that seemed to help you.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really easy to get away from it, and I'll never completely get away from it because that's just who I am as a guy. I'm like very results oriented. I'm very like, you know, what's happening now? It doesn't matter what I've done, and I'm always trying to, like, you know, even like I was pretty down on myself about my last live at bats. which probably if you saw, you wouldn't even have blinked an eye. But for me, like, my expectations is, like, it was pretty poor. And but then I have to remind myself it's February 20th or whatever it was, and I have to remind myself that, you know, it's a long season and this, that, and the other, and then I can let it go. But it's just the not letting that snowball on you and then become just who you are. Like, you don't want to be a ball of anxiety in spring training, which it does happen to guys.
So over the last year and a half or so, what has been something that has really surprised you about all this, this journey?
Surprised me? I mean, maybe not for me personally, but one thing that's surprising but also very motivating and exciting is that how quick it can change for certain guys. I mean, Pete Fairbanks is like a great example, and Emmanuel Clase. Those are two guys that broke camp in high A, which I was teammates with, who all were up in the big leagues by June of the same season. And I think I kind of always just assumed the minor leagues was just this, like, slow grind. Like, you go to A-ball 1 year and then double-A the next year and then triple-A the next year and then the big leagues the next year. And for some guys, and guys that are, you know, extraordinarily talented and also just, you know, in the right situation, it can happen really quick. So I think that's been surprising. For me personally, I'd have to think a little bit more. I mean, nothing comes to, like, mind.
You seem to map stuff out pretty well.
So I try. That's curious, but see, that's the thing is, I try. And I probably shouldn't. That's back to the whole just pitching.
Yeah.
Point is, I probably shouldn't try to map things out. But yeah, I mean, I definitely have, like, ideas in my head for sure.
Okay. Any goals for 2020 that you can talk about?
Yeah. I really want my fastball usage to be, like, right at 50%. I think last year it was closer to 70%. Which the data was obviously a little bit skewed because I basically only had a fastball and changeup for the first, you know, half of the season, even though I was still trying to throw a slider. But it wasn't a pitch I leaned on. So yeah, 50% I think is kind of like threshold. They actually just had a presentation and they looked at all 10 of the top Cy Young nominees from last year. So it was like top five in the AL, top five in the NL. And they showed their pitch percentages, and, like, pretty much all of them throw half fastballs, 50% fastballs, which for me seems crazy. You know, I threw 82% fastballs in Spokane my first year, but it's exciting because now I actually have pitches that I can rely on to fill that other 50%. So in my head, it's like 50% fastballs, 25% curveballs, 15% changeup, and 10% sliders. And just a few people I've talked about how my arsenal plays would say that those are really good marks to try to hit, as far as, like, projecting me to, like, guys in the big leagues with similar stuff. That's kind of around where they are too, so that's a big one. And then just cutting my walks per nine down as much as I can. I mean, walks are gonna happen, and sometimes there's things as, like, good walks, you know, that, you know, rather than, you know, you could pitch around a guy to set up the double play, or if it's runners in third and second and their best hitter's up, you can pitch around him and you know, try to get him to swing at a ball out of the zone and get himself out. But, you know, you don't want to just start piping him in there in those situations. So, I mean, walks are going to happen. But for me, I just felt like the sporadicness and the inconsistency that we've talked about multiple times, but, you know, come up, I just want to, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, it could happen tomorrow, you know, when I pitch, but making those fewer and farther between, you know, like I said, two steps forward, one step back. With that is my biggest focus, is just getting ahead early in counts will really help me with that. And that's another big focus of mine. So just first pitch strikes will lead to less walks, and then just mixing my pitches as much as I can.
Thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Raised Sports. To keep up with Cole's progress, follow him at Cole Uvula on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, keep an eye on all happenings around the Texas Rangers. And now, with Season 2 in the books, it's time for my off-season and to prepare for Season 3. For updates on what's going on with Raised Sports, keep tabs on social media. Or if you prefer to get updates in your mailbox, we have a newsletter as well. You can sign up for that over at RaisedSports.com. I'm Bob Harkins, and as always, thanks for listening.